And Natasha is most definitely one of those amazing cell leader people. I was blessed to be able to take her on an encounter weekend years ago, and it was an under canvas encounter weekend, which was even more fantastic because we had to stay in a tent, and it was kind of exciting and fun. And we had such a blast that weekend, and God did so many amazing things in you and has continued to do amazing things. So I just commend to you. I know what's been on her heart for a couple of weeks now, so I know it's going to be a very good word. So Natasha, Barabaya La Bamba.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Jill. What an intro. That was pretty exciting. Okay. Shall we pray? Holy Spirit, I just invite you to invade this space, Holy Spirit. I invite you just to come and be in every inch and every corner of this gym, in every inch and every corner of us and of our hearts and of our minds today, Lord. We give it all over to you, Daddy. And I just ask, Father, that this word would come and glorify you and glorify your name and just show how amazing and wonderful and awesome, awesome God you are, Lord. So I just invite you all over this, Father. Amen. So this testimony has been on my heart for a little while to share with you guys, and it's kind of amazing. It's not a testimony that's wrapped in a box, you know, it's not finished, there isn't a bow on it. It's something that is sort of incomplete. I felt it was such a privilege to come and share it, because you know, we had so many words this morning about family, and you guys really are like a family to me. I'm so blessed and touched to have each one of you here and be part of Midtown and be just, you know, surrounded by love. And so it's kind of easy to share something that at this point is still quite difficult for me because I'm walking through it. Like I said, it's not something that's finished, but it's comfortable enough in a way because you guys are my family. We don't often get a chance to do this. You know, usually we hear of things that God has done and this is the happy ending and this is how it turned out and this is how it all turned around. And it's my privilege to be able to share that it's sort of not finished and I'm still in this, this journey portion of it. So I thank you for being part of this with me, and I thank God that he's made it possible as well. So, like I said, some of this will be a little hard, but I do want to focus on, you know, how God has been with me step by step and how he's been so good. There's a verse that I often struggle with in the Bible, so I thought we'd look at it together. It's James 1:2. So if you want to turn there. James 1:2 says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance." Consider it pure joy. Really? You know, really, that's tough for me when you face trials of every kind. I've struggled with God. I'm like, what? Are you serious, Lord? You know, how does that work out? How do I become joyful over trials? You know, he's kind of wrestled with him about it and you know, you've got to be kidding. And this is a verse that's kind of come back to me over and over again. And there's things obviously in all of our lives, in my life and in sort of my whole bigger testimony, not just this story, that have really not been easy. I grew up in a broken family. My parents were divorced. I lived with my dad and my stepmom. My stepmom and I did not get along at all. And, you know, she was quite cruel to me at times. I got married when I was young, about 21, got divorced when I was about 23. And, you know, all of those things were really, really hard. And to be honest, I've never really felt pure joy about them. So I was kind of like, God, what is up with that? Right? Why do you say this in the Bible? And I want to talk, you know, today a little bit about where that joy can come from when we are going through times of trial. God has given me a life chapter. Some people get life verses. He kind of recognized that I needed a whole chapter. So he's very kind. Just, you know, briefly, how I got this whole chapter, it was really amazing. This literally, the stranger came up one day and shared it with me. And I didn't know her. She didn't know me. She didn't know a thing about me. I've never seen her since. All I know is that she was part of the school of ministry at the time. And it impacted me. It was a point of really changing my life. That chapter is Isaiah 54. And I'm just going to flip to it. What it showed me in Isaiah 54 is that God was really paying attention to my life. You know, he had seen all the bad stuff that had happened to me, all the kind of trials. And he was so kind and he was so good that he wrote them down in the Bible for me. And if he sees, you know, I kind of took it this way. If he sees all the hard stuff and all the stuff I'd gone through, then the good stuff in Isaiah 54 has got to be for me too, right? Amen. I've always wanted to be that kind of amen person, you know. I don't know, there's some Pentecostal Baptist thing in me. So if you guys want to shout out, like, amen, sister, or preach it, sister, or whatever, I totally release you to do that, because that would be fun. Amen. Thank you. So Isaiah 54, and I'm kind of going to skim it, but, you know, it starts out, single barren woman, you have never born a child, burst into song and shout for joy. For you who were never in labor, because more of the children are the desolate woman than her of her husband. Enlarge your tent, skipping down, just do not hold back. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes, for you will spread out to the right and to the left. Verse 4 says, do not be afraid, you will not suffer shame. Do not fear disgrace, you will not be humiliated. You will forget the shame of your youth and remember no more the reproach of your widowhood. Verse 6 says, the Lord will call you back as if you were a wife deserted and distressed in spirit, a wife who married young only to be rejected, says your God. How specific does it get? This was my life. And then further down, verse 9, to me, this is like the days of Noah, when I swore that the waters of Noah would never again cover the earth. So now I have sworn not to be angry with you, never to rebuke you again. Though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, and my covenant of peace will not be removed, says the Lord. Further down is 11, O afflicted city lashed by storms and not comforted. I will build you with stones of turquoise and your foundations of sapphire. I will make your battlements of rubies, your gates of sparkling jewels, and all your walls of precious stones. And your sons will be taught by the Lord, and great will be your children's peace. There's more. You can continue to read it. But, you know, this was really an awesome encouragement from God. It was so encouraging to me because there it was. You know, there was my life. He had seen it all. Clearly, he'd been with me all that time because he had seen it, right? And now he was giving me that encouragement. He was lifting me up. And he started kind of building this hope in me where there was none, because until that time, hope had become so painful. I didn't even want to hope anymore. I didn't know how to hope. You know, I didn't know how to look at my future and say something good is going to happen. Right? But God was there and he's saying something good is going to happen. And I started to feel like I think I can trust him. I think I can start to believe that even though I don't entirely get it, I don't entirely see what's going to happen, his promises are there. His promises are good. And he has been with me my whole life. So I'm going to start to trust you, Lord. So he gave me that whole chapter because I needed the whole chapter. So often I found myself now sharing these kind of message of hope or message of walking in faith, holding on to promises. And that's God, right? Like he takes us from a place where we don't have any of it. Like it's our biggest struggle, our biggest mountain in our lives. And he starts to use it. And that's where he keeps leading me. And this was my message. If many of you know, I was in Africa a few years ago. And that was my message that I carried there. God kept putting on my heart, you know, this message of hope, this message of, you know, sharing with people, telling them, you know, God is good and he wants good things for you, right? And the story itself of what's going on now kind of starts there in Africa. While I was there, while I was on that missions trip, I met someone. And he was a Christian. He was really somebody special. Interestingly enough, he met this, you know, this list, this kind of thing that we put in our minds of all the qualities we want. You know, some people actually write the list. I have never done that. But as I met him, I was like, oh, I think I asked God for this. Oh, I think I remember saying I'd like to have these qualities in a person. Oh, and it was like, doing, doing, doing. And it was really exciting. And, you know, I prayed about it, honestly. I have to say, I did honestly pray about it. And I felt, you know, God releasing me into going forward with that relationship. I'm here. He was over there. We hit a lot of difficulties. We hit a lot of obstacles. You know, long-distance relationships are not easy. And he couldn't get his visa to come, and there was those sort of up and downs. But we also saw many victories in that time. We also saw how God pulled us together during that time and used those hard struggles to grow our relationship. I remember a time at Christmas, we were really hoping that his visa came through, and I had everybody here praying, right? Every week at cell group, it's like, okay, let's pray. Let's pray. And Jill was so kind. She's like, it's okay, Natasha. We can pray for it every week. She was so good. and so we did. And I really expected at one point at Christmas that he would come, because all these things had fallen into place, you know? Beyond that, I was like, okay, the only thing left is this visa, and it didn't arrive. And it was really painful, and I really had a struggle with God at that point. And I remember talking to him and saying, you know, this is hard. Why is God doing this? Like, why is this happening? Right? But it was interesting because we balanced each other out. He was like, okay, come on. He lifted me up and he said, it's okay. You know, God's got a plan. We're going to be okay. It's going to work out. You know, we're going to put it back in God's hands. We're going to trust him and put it back into his hands. And so that was a real blessing. Proverbs 16:9 says, in his heart, a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. You know, and I learned to say to God, I don't understand what's happening, but I choose to trust you. I know that you don't have a law against love, right? I don't know how it's going to turn out, but I'm going to trust that God, you're going to put these steps in front of me. So it was hard, but God was, you know, taking that to build me up, to build trust, to build both of us. And I kind of just tried to keep reminding myself that God is good. And he always has our best interests in mind. So we continued and our relationship grew. And finally, summer of last year, I went back and I visited him. And we got engaged. Yay! And I was so excited. And, you know, it felt to me like a lot of things were falling into place. I didn't care anymore about living in Canada or whatever. I thought, hey, if God wants me to be in Africa, maybe that's where he wants me. I'm sure he's going to have a good plan. I'm sure, you know, I can go there for a little while and he'll bless it and he'll do whatever he wants to do. Maybe that's the thought, the plans. But when I came back, things kind of started taking a funny turn. And I wasn't sure what happened. I wasn't sure if during that trip I had done something wrong. You know, I guess we all do that. Oh, what did I do? Right? Anybody feel like that when things go wrong? What did I do? Right? I was trying to fix the problem. I kept trying to, okay, I'm going to come at it at this angle and this angle. If I talk to him about it this way or that way or whatever, you know, I was trying all the angles, right? And I just felt like